How many of you, and I need to see a show of hands, have heard of humble pie? Now, it's not humble, H-U-M, it's humble, U-M-B-L-E. You say, what? Doesn't taste very good, but it's good for you. Now, that word humble, it finds its origin in medieval England. The nobility, the royalty, they would eat the choicest meat. And then they would leave what they didn't want, the scraps, the heart, the kidney, the liver, all of that stuff that normal people don't eat. They would leave it for the slaves to eat. And they would cut it up and they would make it into a pie. Now, nobility and royalty was never served humble pie unless they were trying to humiliate them. Such is the idea that you need a slice of humble pie. Well, when we come to 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter is telling all of us, you need daily a slice of humility. This morning, four details to gain the blessing of God in your life. Now, it's simple, but it's hard. You're going to understand how to do it. But tomorrow at work is going to be challenging to put it into practice. When you're in that spat tonight with your wife, you're going to know what to do. But it's going to be challenging to do it because of one word. Pride. And all of us are prideful individuals. Four details to gain the blessing of God. Sermon I've entitled, Living Under the Hand of God. First truth, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the principle of humility. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So Peter begins with submission. He just addressed the elders shepherding the flock of God. Now he addresses all of those that are under their leadership. Biblical humility recognizes God works through authority. Doesn't mean you blindly follow, but God's word and his order says he works through authority. It's like a military unit. An effective unit in the military cannot have everyone being his own commander. No. For the military unit to be effective, you got to follow orders. That's what he's saying here. Now look on the verse. All of you. So he starts with the young people. Young people, submit yourself to the older. And then it says, all of you. So he's talking to everybody. Be subject one to another. And see that next phrase. Be clothed with humility. It means to tie a knot. It's a picture of something you put on like a garment. And maybe the idea of in this slave mentality in this time period of putting on the apron and tying it around you. You don't get dressed accidentally. You have to do it intentionally. You make the intentional, deliberate choice. We are to intentionally, deliberately put on humility every day. In our marriage, at work, when we're criticized, we are to put on humility. What's your favorite outfit? Now, I have my favorite outfit, and some of it is, I just like this 25-year-old shirt because it's comfortable. Now, the other reason I wear it is because my daughters hate it. And whenever I put it on, I say, oh, Dad, you need to throw... Seriously, they put it in the Goodwill stack. And I was like, that's my favorite shirt. Literally. When we realize the blessing of God comes with humility, every day we clothe ourselves. God, I'm not dependent upon me today. I'm dependent upon you today. God, when I don't get my way today, I want you in my life to get your way. The word humility means lowliness of mind. It's esteeming the other better than yourself. When Jesus took up and clothed himself and washed the disciples' feet, I think it so moved Peter, he never got over it. And he says, all of you, you need to be clothed with humility. Look at the last part. For God resists the proud, but gives grace, gives help to the humble. He resists. That's the idea of two armies going toe-to-toe fighting each other. That's the idea of two football teams, Alabama and Georgia, going toe-to-toe and fighting each other. That's what he said. Look what God resists the proud. It doesn't matter who you are. These sports stars that are wanting to all eyes on me and wanting to do the dance and everything to get more attention. God resists the proud. God opposes going toe-to-toe when you're proud. Name the politician. Any politician who's strutting his stuff. God, doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. God resists the proud. Every husband, you're going to do it. God resists the proud. Every wife, God resists the proud, but he gives grace. He gives help. He gives assistance to the humble. So do you want to be all that you can be? Or do you want to be all that God can help you to be? The key is humility. Number one, the principle. Secondly, notice the prerequisite. So I put it out there. It's simple. Everybody understands it. But to put it into practice, you must get the next verse. Look what it says. Humble yourself. Now, God can humble you. God can knock you off of your high horse. But it's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot better if you will just humble yourself. Humility is a choice. You have the power to be prideful and to strut your stuff, or you have the power to humble yourself. Look now, look what it says. This is the prerequisite. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humility does not work if you don't have an all-powerful God. Doesn't say the gentle hand of God, the mighty hand of God. And when you have a God that has a mighty hand who is offering you grace and help in your time of need, you can say, no, 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 no. I'm going to humble myself because I need God working on my behalf. Someone has described submission of a wife to a husband as this: ducking so God can slug your husband. That's humility. God resists the proud. He gives grace. You say, well, I'm losing. No, 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 no. If the mighty hand of God is helping you out, you're not losing. You're winning. Notice what it says. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Doesn't say before. It says under. It's a picture of putting yourself beneath God's authority. God, you're in control. I'm not. God, you created the world. I didn't. God, you sustained the world. I don't. So I am humbling myself under you, before you, because you're going to make sense out of this nonsense. It means His word has the final say. It means His will is the final say. It means His timing is the final say. It means His purposes have the final say, not your purposes. Do you remember Abraham? God told Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and go to a place that I will show thee of. Now, it's bad enough he's got to leave home. Bad enough he's got to leave his family. But God doesn't tell him where he's going. Go to a place I will show thee of. His daddy, his mama, his brothers and sisters. Where are you going? Following God. Where's he leading you? I don't know. He's going to tell me. That is humility. God, I'm trusting you. Even though I don't understand, even though I don't have all of the answers, Abraham had to leave what he knew before he knew where God was taking him. That's humility. Mighty hand of God, I'm trusting you even though I don't have all of the answers. You guys get this? What type of horse, if you had to ride a horse this afternoon, what type of horse would you like to ride? The unbroken, the wild, the bucking bronco, or the meek and mild, gentle, that you just nudge with your knee and it goes that way, or you nudge with the other knee? Hey, guys, don't we have a picture of this? Yeah. Which one of those do you want to get on the back of? Hey, look, that bridle, it doesn't make the horse less powerful. That bridle makes the horse more usable. So it is with humility. Humility doesn't make you weak. Humility makes you usable by God. So do you want God resisting you, or do you want God helping you? Prerequisite, it doesn't work unless you have an all-powerful God who's going to work when you humble yourself. So if you don't have a high view of God, just go to sleep. And I've never said that in a sermon. Number two, the prerequisite of humility. Now, this is the good part. Look at the promise of humility. Look what the verse says. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. Now, the thinking is, if I humble myself, God's going to hold me down. Not what He says. He doesn't want to hold you down. He wants to lift you up. But the only way He's going to lift you up, if you will bow down in humility. Remember Joseph? God sent him to the pit to humble him. But the pit wasn't his final destiny. God sent him to the prison to humble him. But the prison wasn't his final destination. God sent him to the palace, but before he got to the palace, he had to go to the pit and he had to go to the prison. Why? So that God could lift him up. So are you going through difficulty? You're going through trial. You're going through turmoil. You can try to fight your way out of it, or you can humilify your way out of it. God, I don't like this prison. God, I don't like this pit. It's dirty in here. It stinks in here. There's rodents in here. But I'm not going to try to get myself out of this pit. I'm going to trust you that you have a mighty hand. And in due time, you will get me out. That's what it says. That He may exalt you. Whenever you see a tall building, the higher the building is intended to go, the deeper you have to dig for those footings to support it. Now, I'm sure no one in this room has ever walked up to this beautiful building, looked down at the footings and say, wow, what a beautiful building. No. You're looking at the majestic size of it, and you're, but that majestic building would not be what it was and what it is without strong footings. So it is with humility. God wants to lift you up. But the only way he's going to lift you up is if you will humble yourself in humility. Have you ever heard the statement, God helps those who... It's bogus. God helps those who humble themselves. That's what this verse says. And two other things and I'm done. It doesn't say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and you will be exalted. It says, he will exalt you. See, we live in a day and age of self-promotion. I need to let everybody know what I'm doing. I need to promote myself. Humility says, I want God to be pleased with me. I don't have to promote myself to everybody else. Self-promotion says, I got to step on people and I got to climb the ladder so I can get to the top. Humility says, I just want to faithfully serve God and God will lift me up. Now listen, I'm not in favor of this. So some of you say, preacher's preaching. I'm not against this, all right? So hear me. I'm not opposed to this. Resumes. Do you know what the purpose of a resume is? To tell that potential employer. Now remember, I'm not opposed to it. It's an example. Purpose of a resume. To show that potential employer how great you are. He said, hey, I'm educated and I got experience. And if I'm good looking, I'm going to put my picture so you can see I'm pretty. It's to show off. This verse says, God isn't impressed by your resume. He's impressed by your humility and your faithfulness. Number three, the promise of humility. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. And look at those three words and we'll be done. Number four, the patience of humility. See those last three words? In due time. That's probably the hardest part of that verse. We don't mind God's plan nearly as much as we mind God's timetable. We want it now. We do not want to wait. God has, this verse says, a due time. Something I've never experienced, but I've lived with a wife who has experienced it. A due date. Come on, mamas. That due date, the doctor is just guessing his best guess. And he says, hey, that baby is going to be delivered, going to come out August 23rd. You know what you're doing? August 1st, you say, I wonder if it's going to be today. August 3rd, all right, it's getting close. No, you're not thinking, well, it's going to be August 27th. No, you want it now. Guys, we don't know nothing about birthing no baby, but we know a lot about waiting, and we don't like to wait. Remember Joseph? Received a dream from God, but then everything else seemed to go backwards. What's up with that? Betrayed? Thrown into a pit? Sold into slavery? Falsely accused? Imprisoned? God had not forgotten Joseph. It just wasn't due time yet. And maybe that's you. Some of you are saying, God's forgotten me. He doesn't know where I am. He doesn't know. It's due time. He will deliver. He will answer. He will show up. Three words. In due time. Now here's the deal with due time. It's not your time. It's His time. Humility trusts God enough. God, I'm just going to wait for your best and your timing. Some of you, that's where you are. You got the humility thing. You don't have the patience thing where you're just waiting for Him. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. So I encourage you. He hath made everything beautiful. You say, you don't know about my marriage. You don't know about my kids. You don't know this place where I work. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God, I'm trusting you for my finances. God, mighty hand, I'm trusting you for my children. God, I'm trusting you with this or that. And He will exalt you. Listen. In due time. Great example of this is King David. When Samuel went to Jesse's house looking for the future king, David wasn't even brought to the house. He was out on the sides of the hills in the wilderness watching sheep. His own daddy didn't think enough of him that he wanted his youngest child to be in the room. Guys, put that picture on the screen. When Samuel saw him, the Holy Spirit told Samuel, anoint him, for this is the future king of Israel. Maybe you say, hey, Pastor, I'm being forgotten. Pastor, they're overlooking me. Pastor, I'm trying the humility, and I just get stepped on, stepped on, stepped on. In due time. Here's my word for you. Don't worry when men overlook you. God hasn't overlooked you. And He exalts those who humble themselves. Let me give you one more example, and then I'm going to give you a test. All right? This works for husbands, and it works for wives. I'm going to give you a test, but here's an example. You all understand this. How many of you have ever had your cell phone say 2% charge left? Come on, anybody been like that? Guys, put this picture up there. Yeah, I hate that. It's in red. So what do you do? 2%, I mean, it's going off. You go and you plug it up. And if you're like Neil Jackson, you know what you do after you plug it up? A minute later, you come back and it says 3%. Hurry up. 4%. Come on, I need a quick charge. Hurry up. And some of us are just like that in life. I want to be exalted. I want to blessing in favor of God. And He says, in due time. So here's the sermon. Here's the invitation. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And He will exalt you. Not you exalt you. He will exalt you in due time. You ready for the test? Here we go. Number one, how do you respond when corrected? You get upset. Do you justify? Do you rationalize? Question number two, how do you respond when someone else receives the credit that you deserve? Do you pout? Man, they didn't notice me. Number three, do you have a hard time admitting you're wrong? Or can you walk into that room and say, guys, honey, I'm sorry. I was so wrong. Will you forgive me? Number four, do you have to have the last word? just shows, pardon my grammar, you ain't humble. Number five, how do you treat people who can't do anything for you? Number six, are you often comparing yourself to others? Why did they get that? They don't deserve that. I should have got that. Number seven, are you willing to let God choose the timing in your life?